Welcome back to Frugal BC, and as you know, we are still in a downtrend with a little bit of an uptick, and actually, Algorand and Hedera have been doing pretty well. So we're going to talk about that. We got lots of stuff to talk about on our agenda. Some drama in the Algorand world around one of its projects. We'll get into that later, and we're going to talk about some other things that are going on as well in Hedera. We're going to react to in Hedera video. I've been trying to react to a few of them as I go along, and so we'll get into some of those. But I gotta tell you about my Solana experience today, or recently. I think I kind of talked about this a little bit on the channel member page, and I'll probably go into more detail about what happened. But it was just a reminder that if you are using stuff in Algorand or Hedera, you've got a leg up. You're using stuff that actually works and is straightforward and transparent for the most part. And I sometimes forget this, but you get a reminder when you try another ecosystem, namely stuff on Ethereum and particularly on Solana. So I've been playing around with Pump.Fun. And interestingly enough, my chat doesn't seem to be working. Oh, here we go. I just have to go to the other. The YouTube chat isn't working on here, but the multi-chat is. We got Jason Sinkar saying, GM, let's go Algo. Thanks, Jason. And Cryptophiliac, have you seen the Crypto Tips episode that just came out talking about Epstein's ties to Bitcoin and MIT? Thank God Silvio's not in the files. Watch it, though, because it seemed Epstein visited MIT 9 times. I will definitely check that out. Maybe if we have some time later, maybe we'll watch that. But so I got on Pump.Fun and I wanted to play around with just a little bit of Solana. You know, I like to take it. Honestly, I was trading with like a dollar of Solana here and there, making these little like dollar trades, thinking I could test it out, you know? And this is what I like to do. I like to, when I try out something new, I like to test it out with small amounts. And I probably, you know, a lot of times I use more than a dollar. So I probably could have used a little bit more, but, so I tried it out with a dollar and I was making these trades and I made some positive trades. And then I would look into my Phantom wallet, and it was like the money never came to my Phantom wallet. And I couldn't figure this out because like the gas fees are pretty low on Solana, just like they are on everything else. And so, you know, the platform fees aren't that much. And I used ChatGPT to figure out what happened. Well, it turns out there's all these hidden fees that they don't tell you about. It is not outlined anywhere. You don't learn about it anywhere, and you just never see it. But the only way you see it, it's not even reflected in the Solana scan. So this is like completely untransparent, and these fees take your entire amount. So the whole I traded with 0.01 Solana, and I got jack squat back. In other words, I not only lost the profit, I actually lost the entire investment. So, not a big fan of Pump.Fun, and this is the biggest platform on, well, I don't, it's one of the biggest platforms, if not the biggest platform. I shouldn't say that definitively, but you know, you try this thing out and it's just crap. So now if I did this on Algorand, there are none of these sites that I've ever used have such a hidden fee that if I put one algo in, I would not get an algo back. Even though the scanner would say that I got it back. It's crazy. And you know, nothing tells you about this. So it's a little bit frustrating. I just wanted to share that experience because sometimes I think we get lost in the weeds on stuff going around on Algorand and Hedera and some of these other ones. We might nitpick at these little things, but the problem is stuff like Solana works so much worse. It's like it's just a reminder of how much better things work on Algorand and Solana. Bagham's in the chat saying, "Hey, Frugal BC, keep up the great work." I appreciate that, my friend. Big fan on X as well. Appreciate your engagement there. It's at BC underscore Kowalski if you want to follow me on X. And we've got the podcast going on too. So if you guys now I had a little if you guys want to listen on the go, and they're getting some listens, it's pretty cool, you know. And always would be nice to have more, but you know, we're getting some listens on here. It's not going unnoticed. In fact, yeah, one of them's really outperforming. So I have to look at that. Green Blue says these are the reasons why Algorand is not being supported by Solana invested platform GM. Yeah, that makes sense because Algorand would just never stand for it. So anyway, we are. If you search FrugalBC on podcast platforms, you can find the podcast. You'll probably recognize the little label. It's got a Hedera and an Algorand logo on it, plus FrugalBC, plus the art from my header is also on the podcast picture. And if you can leave that up, you know, give us a 4 or 5 star review as well. That'd be really nice. I don't know if there's a way I can actually see whether I've got that or not, but yeah, they all get listens. Like none of them have gone unlistened to, which is pretty interesting. So I don't know. I just thought that was kind of cool. And I wanted to share that Solana story just because I think things on Algorand work so much better. So anyway, yeah, you should definitely check out the podcast. 48 total listeners. So it's like people are starting to listen to it. You know, the listens aren't huge, but, you know, and we had a little snafu earlier in the week, so a couple of them just didn't get up there. And by this time, they're pretty out of date. So I wanted to, you know, and I thought about actually just taking the clips and putting those up there too. But I've just been putting the whole podcast up there. So like I said, you can listen on the go. By the way, if you have not hit the like button already, please do so. This helps really early in the channel, especially if you can hit the like button. And that'll show it to more people. I got to look at the camera more. I got to remember to do that. Just kind of taking a look at the numbers here. And you know what? I just forgot. I just realized I forgot to send it to Shorts as well. So now we are on Shorts. I got to remember to keep in the center here so it shows up here a little bit better. But okay. We're good to go with that. And why don't we get to the rest of the show? Probably going right to our crypto charts, which is going about as well as you can imagine. Bitcoin sitting above about 76.6 right now. So just, you know, under 77,000. That is a pretty sharp drop, but a lot of stuff is actually not dropping at the moment. Can't say that about Ethereum, down 5% on the 24-hour. Tom Lee's Ethereum prediction of 6,000 ETH seems, by the end of January, seems pretty ridiculous right now. But everything is, you know, there's a lot of bloodbath. There's some outliers. So why don't we just, since everything is in bloodbath mode, why don't we look at what's doing well? What's doing well on the 24-hour? We got Stax, followed by Pax Gold. Tether Gold, so that's gold going on. Unisub Leo always seems to be a market counter mover. Morpho, Kaya, Jupiter, I believe that's a Solana token. Tonecoin, Worldcoin, and Midnight, but not a whole lot up on the 24 hours. So most stuff is down. How about the 7-day? And we've got Stable at 29%. I don't know what I'm talking about here. Canton up again too. You know, it really annoys me that you can't get Canton on Coinbase. It just seems like it's just one of those ones that's been pumping even while the market is down. Although it is down a little on the 24 hour, which is interesting. Hyperliquid had a good week. Stax at a little under 3%. Morpho under 3%. But there's just not a lot of winners. Green Blue says Pax Gold was listed on Robinhood this AM. Well, hopefully Algorand next. I just don't know why they wouldn't list it. I mean, I really think they should have everything in the top 100 listed on Robinhood, especially coins that have been there for at least more than, say, you know, some of these just pop up right away. Anyway, big losers on the week is Monero, Optimism, Zcash, Stable, Arbitrum, Mantle, Chili's, Pudgy Penguins, and then Ethereum. Rare to see Ethereum on these top 10 up or down lists, which is a point I'm going to make about something else in a minute here too. Losers on the week is Story IP. Now, remember that was a big pumper. Dash down 31%, Zcash 30%, Optimism 28%, Pump Fun on there, Ethereum again on the weekly losers, Chili's, Arbitrum, Penguins, and Immutable X. And even Sui is down there. Actually weighing buying a little Sui because I'm actually underwater on that finally. I don't know if overall I am because I took some profits, but on what I own right now, that's definitely below my average buy. So even Chainlink is on there near, but you notice what you don't see Hedera and you don't see Algorand. And it's interesting because you rarely see it on the top 10 for positive performance, but you also rarely see it on the top 10 for negative performance. So that's interesting, and that's something at least. Let's see. Why don't we go to Haystack, which is our sponsor. And by the way, if you want to trade Algorand assets, you can do so on the Haystack app, available on mobile and on the web, although it's optimized for mobile. And I definitely recommend this app because now they have a really cool feature. I don't know what happened to Haystack. It's kind of ruining my the title of the video because it's quite a bit different than it was even early this morning. The cool new feature is that when you hold assets on Haystack, it automatically yields them. So it has an auto yield feature where it will find the best yield for you and you earn yield on your passive assets when you're just sitting there. Now, the only thing I don't like is, from what I can understand, you can only send Algorand to the site and then you have to trade it. Maybe you can send USDC too, and then there's some fiat on ramps, but it doesn't sound like you can send. I tried sending 5 Munko and it just disappeared into the ether, which is a reminder, whenever you try out something new, a new pathway, always, always, always send a little tiny amount first and then send the, make sure it works first, and then send the big amount. So that's an important point. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Haystack. I think the new features are awesome. Another new feature is coming that you guys are going to like. I can't talk about it yet, but you guys are going to like it. Probably by Friday, we'll be able to talk about it. But I wanted to pull up Haystack on here for the very simple reason. And it's this candle here. It had quite a candle up. This is quite a 24-hour candle. I'm not sure why it's reading like it was, because this should be 24 hours. But this was a nice recovery, and not everything recovered in the same way. Looks like people are taking some profits, got some sell orders on here. It's interesting to look at the order books. I don't know. We don't look at the order books very often. As you can probably see, you can't see it, but red is sell. And you can see what's going on here. Now, I think we can do some indicators, can't we? Actually, I don't think, that's one thing I wish Hay had. Hopefully they add that eventually. Let's look at a little closer timeline. Yeah, here's the 4-hour chart. We can see that a little better. Like I said, that's that. No, I want this. Too bad. No indicators. I like to put on the Bollinger Band and the RSI, hopefully they add that at some point, because I think that stuff is really helpful. I can't imagine what the coding is like on something like this. It must be kind of challenging. But I just wanted to point that out because this had a really surprise recovery, although you can see a lot of stuff has at least somewhat recovered. Yeah, by the way, you can get it on the App Store and on Google Play. And that's no small achievement because it can be really hard to get stuff, especially through the App Store, but even Google Play can be a little tricky. Green Blue says Scaramucci bought a bunch of AVAX at around $11.75. Otherwise, Alpha Arcade now up 3.66% and posting a positive candle on the week. One of the few to do so besides Haystack. Meanwhile, folks, down to $1.50. It is down almost 35% on the week. So folks had a really meteoric launch, and I think a lot of people took profits. And it's been kind of crashing ever since. Yeah, but otherwise, everything's pretty much down double digits on the week. Could be a buying opportunity if you were a trader. You'd have to look at the RSI, look at the signals. A lot of times when something is oversold, that is a good time to oversold, and down on the bottom of the Bollinger Band can be a nice little signal that it's going to pop up. And it's pretty reliable. It's not 100%. Nothing is 100% in crypto or, well, life in general, usually. Anyway, that's what's going on in the markets. And like I said, there's not a lot to this. Nova Coin's been doing pretty well. We can take a look at this really quick. And, you know, if you see something like this, generally speaking, you've missed it. You know, maybe you can ride it up a little more, but I would be concerned about that. By the way, 30 days, this is up 161%. Oh, you know what? I do want to show you one other thing. Let me search for this. I wanted to show you guys Nugget. I bought right here at 503. And then I took some profit here. So I bought, again, this is, like I said, I test things out with a small amount. Bought $5, sold $750, actually $758. So I made a little bit of a profit. And at the time, that was still like, I still had like 30 some dollars worth of this left. And it all pretty much fell down to here. So still up. Overall, I am up $6.26. So I made money. It's 125% profit. So if I had done this at like $500, it would have been a lot more, but I probably would have made that big of a bet. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. Why don't we go to the... we'll go to the HBAR tokens. And there's an outlier on here too. As you can see, most things are down, as you might expect. HBAR itself down 4%. The Sauce token, almost a little over 3.5%. HBARX down 4%. Bonzo is down. They're all down. GIB is down quite a bit. Very volatile token from what I've seen. And I'm ignoring the stable coins. That's like just kind of noise, really. Pretty much everything is down. At best, even. And then this LCX, which I don't know about, it's an HTS version of a different coin, is up 15%. So I don't know what's going on with that. We can take a look. Did they tell us about this? LCX, the Liechtenstein Cross Assets Exchange, was founded in 2018 with headquarters in Vaduz in Liechtenstein and offices in Crypto Valley, Zug, Switzerland, New Delhi, and Chicago. They got an office in Chicago. Who knew? Well, apparently it's doing a lot better than it had been, but down a little on the week and down quite a bit on the month. So maybe we shouldn't get too excited about that, but let's find our space here. Trying to, if there was a jam is up a little bit. So one, you know, a couple of little, outliers. Wow. This Dino coin is down 14%. That's a huge dip. HCHF holding Dino pack 2% up. There's another one though. Carrot. This is the one. It's up almost 10%, bucking the trend in HBAR, which is kind of interesting. Been as high as $1.40 and as low as 13 cents. So interesting territory. How's it been on the month? Yeah, down on the month. So like I said, but it is up 18%. on the week. Well, I thought that was worth looking at because I just noticed that was like the one outlier. And kind of wish they'd save your place. And that's really it for anything doing well on HBAR. So, as you might expect, most things are down at the moment. Let's see here. Gonna check on things. See how many people are joining us. And we're gonna get to, I got a Algorand segment coming up here soon. By the way, if you're watching and you have not hit the like button, please do so. It helps the channel. And if you're new here, you can feel free to subscribe. Also, you can check us out on our podcast on your favorite Apple and Spotify or wherever you get podcasts. I think it should show up. But I appreciate all the likes from everyone so far. Appreciate the subscriptions and the chats as well, you know. And we are also live on X and on Kick, or I'm sorry, on Twitch, by the way. So give us a shout out if you're watching from there. I got the multi-chat pulled up since, well, YouTube chat isn't working, but I can see everyone's chat. So I don't know if it'll show me any super chats, but hopefully it'll show up on this chat as well. Yeah, if you're watching on Twitch, please give us a comment and we'll be happy to hear from you. And we can see comments on X too, so be sure to give us a comment, a shout out on X if you're watching. But appreciate everyone tuning in. We got more to do. We got our Algorand segment coming up. Chat's a little quiet today. That's okay. It'll just take me a second to pull this up. Oops, wrong one. Now it's just going to take me a second because I have to find the start of this. This is the first one. Here we go. Okay. And you know how I do these, you know, I don't respond to chats unless they're relevant to the segment. So keep that in mind, but we are going to start this segment. There has been a major hack in the Compex system on Algorand, so we are going to cover that today as part of our Algorand segment and news. But it's really shaken a lot of stuff in the crypto world, particularly in the Algorand world. Let's start off with this update from Compex. Important update at 9:26 p.m. this evening, and this was back on January 30th. The administrative account for Orbital Markets was rekeyed to this account. I'm not going to read all those letters. This account then used the admin functions within Orbital Markets to set contracts into migration mode and pull funds out of these contracts, subsequently selling them on the market via this address. We are deeply sorry to users affected by this, and we are working to look at how we can remedy this situation. We are currently looking into how this happened, and we'll update you all as soon as we know more. Now, remember, I showed you that chart with Haystack and that dip. Haystack was one of the tokens, and there were a bunch of tokens that were affected by this. Massive sell-offs, which led to price reductions for a little bit. They came back up eventually, but it definitely impacted the market. And I'm going to tell you, people, this is, first off, this is a horrible hack. And some people say it's not even a hack, but in fact, Frugal Frog here says, and no relation, by the way, says, it's funny how it's always, I put the right one. No, I didn't. Hold on. Says, it's funny how it's always someone that rekeys. It's very funny and coincidental. That's exactly how my algo got screwed. There's no way that you guys could just be robbing us or all stringing us along, right? Oh no, we got hacked. Sorry. I don't think that's what happened, but it's very it is very frustrating. And I'm going to go back to oh, and it did the thing where it messes up my stuff. Okay. Well, anyway, important update. This evening, the administrative account for Orbital Markets was rekeyed to the... Wait, no, that's the old one. Oh, that's so frustrating. All right, here was an update. Details have been passed to Cloudflare and Indonesian police. Reports to the local police here are in the UK, will be done tomorrow. Huge thanks to D13 for helping compile data for these reports. D13 being one of the main engineers at the Algorand Foundation. We remain hopeful that we can recover the stolen funds. In the meantime, and if that is not to be successful, if that were not, we at Compex are committed to ensuring that all tokens stolen from depositors are restored to their rightful owners. And that's great, but you know what? It's not going to help trust, because if you feel like you got hacked like that, you're just not going to... I don't know. Like, I'll tell you my own experience with Compex. You know, I did this in my experiments, and I was involved in the USDC US or XUSD pool, which was their stablecoin, and it was never a dollar. It was always under a dollar. So it was I would be gaining yield, but I'd be losing money because the XUSD would be going down. And that is not what you want in a stablecoin. So it just didn't work. And I ended up, I actually closed the experiment in the positive because I happened to hit it at the right time. But I did it for 3 months. And despite like having a pretty strong APR, also, which was never what they said it was. I just want to be clear about that too. So yeah, I was kind of soured on Compex anyway. This doesn't help for sure. This is something Nokaro said, no smart contract audit in the world can protect a DeFi protocol if the dev pushes their local .env file to GitHub. And imagine not using multisigs. Oops. And then this is their final update. This is yesterday. We are currently working on a plan for moving forward, including repayment for those that were affected by the issues this past Friday on Orbital. In the immediate term, we are working to clean up the core application. We will be turning rewards off for all staking pools, all pools that can be withdrawn from barring the Algo pool. For simplicity, the Algo pool will be removed from the UI. We ask all users in these pools to remove their stake. Details of the stakers in the C algo pool have already been noted. So will XUSD re-peg? That's what I'm talking about. It has not been pegged. In fact, I'm going to try to use Haystack for this. I think it will demonstrate that. We might have to switch views here, but just give me a second. I think I need to show you what this... Whoa. Okay, that I didn't even know happened. This just dropped. So it was never... My problem here was, like, this is around 90. It's been slowly losing liquidity, but it's never been a dollar. I mean, this was back in January. You can see it was higher. It was close. It got really, really close. But for the most part, this dollar stablecoin has never really been a dollar. Flashed up to it, just barely. So in case you're wondering what I'm talking about here, or what he's talking about, that's the problem with the pool. It's just never hit a dollar. But I didn't realize it had gone down to like 60 cents right now. So I am so glad I got out of that. Like I said, I finished ever so slightly in the positive, and I just called it good. Just give me a second. Here's some thoughts from Al Gawana. Been in this space for a really long time, since 21. And he says, thoughts on the latest Algo hack, a $300,000 hack having significant impact on major ASA pairs, shows how thin liquidity is across Algo DeFi. And so, you know, earlier in the stream, I talked about my frustration with Pump.Fun in Solana. But one thing it's got going for it is there's a lot of liquidity in there. And that's why I think a platform like that can at least be used, right? Teams are dramatically underfunded and under-resourced. If one of the major DeFi protocols has one person running dev, operations, community, marketing, finance, things will get missed. In this case, unfortunately, it was something critical. Do you think D13 to the rescue again? Algo MVP agreed. All these issues are symptoms of the same root issue: lack of users, lack of liquidity, lack of revenue, and lack of funding. On the human side, if you've lost funds, I'm sorry, it sucks. Exiled, hope you're doing okay. Well, he really doesn't like it. There's some. He comments this undefined. He comments on a lot of my stuff too, but he's a little more positive than that, I guess. Let's see. I thought there was more. There is more. And then this was from Jerry Chu. This appears to be the hacker from Compex dumping the alphas on there to cash out. This is this appears to be Vestige, I believe, their platform. Nothing changes and price recovers soon, which it has. Up to you to decide, but if you don't buy it, the next platform buyback will take care of it. Actually, that's a dip I missed for sure. I definitely should have bought that dip, because that would have been a nice little turnaround, but I don't think I did. I bought gold on the dip, but I didn't buy that. All right, we got more. So anyway, I really hope I hope people at least get their money back who lost it on Compex, because that sucks. You know, this kind of reminds me of the My Algo hack, if some of you guys remember that. I was all hands on deck, and my channel was a lot smaller back then, but I did 3 videos for 3 days in a row, because that was a pretty major hack. And honestly, I kind of wondered if it was the end of the Algorand ecosystem. It was not. But also, like, it's not, you know, Algorand isn't exactly thriving either. So kind of two sides of that coin, I would say. And I do hope people get their money back. It sounds like they're going to work on returning the funds. I feel bad for the guy running it, but also, like, you got to be really careful with this stuff. And I guess we're going to find out, you know, more specifically what happened in the future. Hopefully, we never did with My Algo. So it seemed like a nice guy. I've interacted with the guys on Compex. They seem nice, but I've never really found the platform super compelling. And especially when I did that experiment, I didn't like the way it worked either. I didn't like that you had to go separately onto Pact to create this. Every time you wanted to update it, you wanted to re-up, you know, your profits back into the pool, you had to go back and, like, manually create a token pair on Pact, which doesn't do the auto matching. So you have to match it manually. It's just really annoying. And then, of course, the fact that the XUSD depegged, and even, you know, recently now it's down to like 60 cents. So it's not even close to a dollar. But even before, it was like never a dollar. It was always between 90 and 97 cents. So good luck to him. I hope something good comes out of it. But we got more Algorand news, including this bit from Alpha Arcade. And this is my own tweet here. Like I said, you can search Frugal BC. This is me on here, BC underscore Kowalski. Alpha Arcade on Algorand has been setting records for transactions. That put it in the top 3 for weekly transactions amongst all prediction markets. And that's number 3 behind Giants Polymarket and Kalshi, and growing. With fiat on-ramps, watch out. Now, we've got some comments here that I think are worth pointing out. And this comes from Sib, saying we need way more volume to be compared. And I asked him for a little more information, and he pointed out that they're not even on the map here in terms of monthly notional volume. It looked like about, when I added it up, it looked like probably about 3 million or so in volume. So got a ways to go to get on these charts. I will admit Now, some people accused at least Opinion Layer of some wash trading, but that was a good point. And, you know, something to keep in mind. But it's got a ways to go. That's fair. Now, this is from MJ saying, tonight I tried out Houdini Swap. Actually, you know what? We covered this. We're back to, it's mixed up again. Drives me nuts. This is the other one I wanted to add. And most of it was on the Orbital, but just in, Algorand XGov front end is officially open source. So you can see the GitHub, you can see the whole foundation, everything on there, right on the GitHub. Now, I can barely use GitHub. I mean, I've used it a couple times. I'm not really like a coder, so I don't know that stuff really well. But I think this is probably a step in the right direction. But the XGov front end now, everything on there is open source. Now, there's a little debate about whether proposals for the XGov funding have to be open source, and they have to open source it before they get funding. I haven't really decided whether I have a feeling one way or the other, but some people think that's a bad idea because you basically have to give away the game, and you might not even get funding. You don't even know if you're going to get funding. So some people think it should be a requirement after you're awarded the funding, maybe before you receive the actual funds. I don't know, but Algorand's stance is that, well, we want to fund open source projects, not necessarily fund you so you'll become open source. So the idea is to be open source from the get-go. So I don't know. We'll see how that shapes out. Like I said, I don't have strong feelings either way. I'm not like I think open source is great, but I'm not like deep in the weeds on that. So I can't give you like a really informed opinion, but I did want to point that out for people who might care about that. But that is our Algorand segment. Really hope things turn out better for Compex, but we'll see how that goes going forward. So thanks for watching that. Going back up, Bagham says, work's been hectic. My friend had a 36-hour day battling to go to bed. Love listening to your Algorand info. I appreciate that, Bagham's. That's a long day. I've had some pretty long days in my life, but never quite that long. Philip Riley in the chat with the little hands up or hands. I don't know. Is that supposed to be a hug? I don't know what that is. I never know what that one is. It's where the little hands are going out like that. I think it's a hug. Green Bliss says, I've frozen my Algorand dip buying funds. I'm positioned if it recovers, but not chucking more funds in until uptrend. Fair. Green Blue says node runners work for Alpha Arcade these days. I mean, they're a big chunk. They are a big chunk of the transactions these days. It used to be a really great one, and then used to be a really great analytics platform on Algorand, but I don't think they ever made a go of it. It's hard. There's just not liquidity. I mean, that's a huge problem. He's not wrong. You know what I mean? He's not wrong that there's a complete lack of liquidity on here. So, okay. Well, I got a Hedera video for us to watch. I thought that's how we close out the live stream today. By the way, very unprofessional as my show is, I'm told, by someone on YouTube who does not make a show themselves. I don't even know what to respond to that. I mean, it's a live stream show. What's it supposed to look like? I mean, it's not Wolf of All Streets, but, you know, I'm not the size of Wolf of All Streets. I just want to check a couple things, and we will get to this video. In the meantime, before we do that, feel free to chat a little more. I just want to see where we're at. I love when I used to get those metrics right on the screen, and I don't get that with Stream Elements anymore, which is kind of a bummer. I'm just gonna go to this. I'm gonna go to my dashboard and see if it actually shows me anything on here. But I appreciate all the likes, guys. I appreciate the views, and if you have not hit the like button already, I appreciate you doing so. Helps a lot. All I'm just trying to see. I apologize for the silence, I guess, but it does show me subscriptions and followers, which is kind of neat. And I do wish I could get the X thing working because, or the kick, I'm sorry, the kick working. Because we were getting some traction on Kick, although it is really hard to get viewers on Kick. I think any of those live streaming platforms, it's really hard to get viewers. It's actually really just not set up well. All right, I'm gonna start the next segment. We're gonna Philip Riley says frugal number one. Hey, I appreciate that a lot. Thanks so much. You guys are great, you know. Great audience. So let's watch this H-bar video because I want to see this. The premise is why H-bar is the most undervalued crypto. Oh, I wonder what you guys think about this. You can chat along, but we're going to watch this.
H-bar ETF approved, a Solana ETF approved, and an XRP ETF approved. And the cool thing about this, and the thing that
he just started. He started early. I don't know why that happened.
Institutions have invested billions of dollars into the crypto space in 2025. And despite seeing major cryptos like Bitcoin and Ethereum lead the way, we actually have seen three other projects have ETFs approved in the US. We saw an HBAR ETF approved, a Solana ETF approved, and an XRP ETF approved. And the
Canary ETF, by the way, did way better than I thought it would. I was actually really surprised at how well it did. Even says on the first day of the HBAR ETF recorded 8 million in trades, a more modest but still significant start compared to other launches. I would say I don't know if I would call, well, it's more modest than the Sol ETF, but tons of inflows, and not just the first day, by the way. It really took off and kept going. Still waiting for an Algorand one. That would be nice, but yeah, you don't want to sleep on these HBAR ETFs.
The cool thing about this, and the thing that I find most interesting, is that HBAR was the third crypto ever to have an ETF approved in the US, but no one talks about it. Everyone talks about Solana, everyone talks about XRP, but HBAR actually had the Canary HBAR ETF approved in October of 2025 alongside with the Solana ETF, and in its first day alone, it recorded $8 million in trades. And so this is a bit modest in terms of overall valuations, but the reason I think this happened is because no one talks about HBAR in their ETF, even though it was the third crypto to ever have an ETF approved in the US. And so this.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, that's actually, I'm surprised it did as well as it did, considering, like, you know, Wall Street is still getting used to, like, Bitcoin and Ethereum. So the fact that it's actually getting this much attention that early, I thought it overperformed compared to what I would have expected. And, you know, I take the total mea culpa on that because I just thought Wall Street wasn't going to be ready for something that far down the market cap table. I would have thought like stuff in the top five, maybe down to the top 10 would do okay, but they really bought it up. I mean, 8 million in the first day is really good. And I think it was like the first month it got up to like 40 million or something. So it's a lot.
This is just something that is so surprising to me because Hedera and their token HBAR is the 20th largest crypto by market cap. I've been talking about this project for a while now, and I've been seeing a lot of people on social media, especially on TikTok and on Instagram and on like Twitter, YouTube, everywhere, have been talking about this project more recently because it's really the only institutional grade network out there in the crypto space. It's like built from the ground up, and it's designed specifically to onboard the world's largest enterprises, governments, and institutions. And if you look at their website, like Hedera has been quietly positioning itself for the institutional crypto cycle, which is where we're currently at right now. Hedera.
That's what I've been telling you guys, by the way. You know, it's no accident that Hedera has Google, IBM, LG, Samsung, some of these huge names on their governing council. And the reason why is because that's a signal. If I'm a business and I see these big names involved with Hedera, that gives me confidence because crypto is pretty scary to most of the major business world. You know, it's still kind of the new frontier. And if you're one of these companies, like, you're going to be really careful about getting involved with some of this stuff. So if you see Google's name on there, you see IBM, you're like, oh, wait a minute, these big business names that we all respect, they're on the cap table. So maybe not the cap table, you know, they're involved. That gives me confidence that, hey, I can go to my CEO and say, hey, these big names are on there. It gives me cover, basically.
They say the trust layer of the digital economy, and they've already seen over 9.3, close to 9.4 million mainnet accounts created and over 71 billion transactions on their mainnet. So while a lot of projects are chasing hype and headlines, Hedera has taken a completely different path, and it was never like built for short-term attention. It has been built to power real world systems behind the scenes, and that's why we've already seen billions of transactions take place on their blockchain.
By the way, that's not that much. It sounds like a lot. One of their governing council members for a while was running all their transactions through Hedera just to boost the numbers. So they were in like the hundreds in terms of like TPS. It went down to like two or three after they left. And it hasn't really, it's kind of been around that range of like two to three TPS. Like I said, it sounds a lot. This is like, what, maybe a month of Visa? How many? Let's look that up. I think that's important to point out. How many transactions does Visa run in a month? Yeah, like 21 billion in a month. Okay, so this is like 3 months of, or hold on, let me say, yeah, four. Also, we'll be generous. This is like 4 months of Visa transactions. So I just think sometimes you have to put this stuff in context, because it sounds like a lot, and you know, it's not nothing, right? But just putting that in context, it's still like kind of small potatoes when you think of like the overall economy. So I do think that's important to point out.
And why I also think it was the very first altcoin after Bitcoin and Ethereum to have an ETF approved. So it was
doesn't have anything to do with that. Those numbers are not impressive at all compared to like the overall. I'm sure like Solana, how many, let's look that up. Yeah, Solana's doing like 2 billion monthly. So that's not even going to be close. Hedera's all time is like 60 some. What did we say? 60 some. The reason why it got an ETF is because of those big names behind it. I guarantee it.
Before Solana, before XRP, and this is something that is just so interesting to me. So a few things about Hedera is that Hedera was launched in 2018 by U.S. Air Force veterans, and the name was Dr. Lehman Baird. You can see them all over social media. You could see all about it on their about page. But so the inventor of the hashgraph.
Yeah, I probably should have known that. I didn't know that they were Air Force veterans. That's interesting. I knew who started it. I just didn't know that about them.
Consensus algorithm, and Mance Harmon, who was also another founder. And so Hedera was designed with institutional grade trust, speed, and scalability in mind. So you could see on their website that it says 2.9 seconds to consensus finality. Average cost is 0.001. And it talks about average kilowatt hours per transaction. So it's a...
Isn't that old? It went up to 8.008 cents, didn't it? Maybe I'm wrong about that. Oh, no, here. Increasing to, well, most, oh, I'm sorry, Wall Street Reads consensus submit message fee is increasing to 0.0008. Does he have it wrong? Actually, he's got the wrong, it's got the wrong number, actually. It's 0.0001, and it went up to 0.0008. So maybe he's rounding up, but even that's only the consensus message fee. So, They are fixed. It's important to point out here, by the way, they are fixed fees. So the fee is fixed in USD. It's not fixed in Hedera. That's an important point. Different than Algorand, which is fixed in Algo. So as the price of Algo moves, so does the fee. One of Hedera's, and I think this is why enterprises like this, by the way, One of the reasons they like it is because you have fixed costs. So you know how much it's going to cost. There's not a variable cost. Very important when you're running a business to know, be able to predict what things are going to cost.
Very efficient blockchain, able to process billions of transactions, able to, it's proven that it's done them at a very low cost and able to do things really quickly. And so Hedera is governed by the Hedera Council, which is a globally distributed group of up to 39 of the world's largest organizations. You can see some of the members on the Hedera Council. It includes like Google, IBM, LG, Dell, Chainlink Labs, Hitachi, IBM. Like you could see a lot of them listed right here. You even could see like Standard Bank and Swirls and a lot more. And so the thing about this is that the hash graph itself is something called a BFT, the gold standard of security for a consensus algorithm. And this is something that's all part of Hedera. So you can see they talk all about this. It says proof completed by Carnegie Mellon professor confirms hash graph consensus algorithm is asynchronous Byzantine fault tolerant. Also meaning that this is designed long term for the crypto space to make sure it's going to stay secure and resistant against attacks long term. So what sets Hedera apart really, in my opinion, is that it isn't just an architecture. It isn't just a blockchain or governance. It's like the level of institutional support we already see for this project. We see all these major companies out there on the Hedera Council. And so this is why I really think it was the third ever crypto to have an ETF launch after Bitcoin.
Yeah, that last part is absolutely why, by the way. Absolutely. And one thing, I don't know if I don't think this factored into that decision, but one thing about Hedera and also Algorand, which I cover, these two are both leading the way in quantum security, which I'll be honest, I don't think is going to matter in the next couple of years. It'll matter like 5-10 years down the road, though. Right now, doesn't matter. Yeah, you don't have to care about that right now. It's so far, it's a ways in the future, but it's coming. Quantum, and then how important is it going to be? Yes and no. I think quantum, even when it's really here and useful, it's going to be very expensive, and there are going to be much more bigger targets for quantum computing than crypto. You know, talking about relative market cap, especially something as small as Hedera or Algorand, they're going to mess around. There's hardly any liquidity compared to some of the bigger chains. They would probably go after like Solana or Bitcoin first. And even then, there's still bigger markets. Like the stock market is, the NVIDIA's market cap is bigger than the entire crypto market right now. So there's going to be bigger targets than crypto. It doesn't mean the risk isn't there. It's just, I think people have to put that in perspective a little bit.
Bitcoin and Ethereum. And so this is something that just is so unique because they say, look, out of 19 million cryptocurrencies that CoinMarketCap tracks, it was Canary Fund's HBAR ETF that passed, citing Hedera's institutional grade network. So really what sets this apart is that it is really institutional focus. And with us seeing more and more institutions getting into crypto, that is something that makes me really, really excited. We've also seen a number.
This is a big one, by the way. This is the only token added to the Wyoming's Frontier stable token, the Front FRNT, which is the first U.S. state issued table. I'm sorry, stable token. Wow, I can really speak today. Wyoming, like, leading the way in crypto adoption, which is why Algorand going to Delaware I thought was kind of stupid when you can go to a state that actually supports crypto. And by the way, it's just a home base. You're not actually, these guys are spread out around the world. Most of these teams work remote. They don't have like an office where they're all sitting around a conference room or something. So, you know, people say, well, they need to be where the, you know, the money makers are. I'm like, oh, they can go there. they're not there now. They're not in a concentrated place, but setting up headquarters in Wyoming, I think, would have been smart.
number of institutional grade use cases for Hedera. For example, Hedera was selected for Wyoming's Frontier Stable Token, the first U.S. state issued stable token. We've seen that Equity Labs Verifiable Compute brings trust to AI with Hedera, and that was Equity Lab Intel and NVIDIA unveiled Verifiable Compute with the help of Hedera. We've also seen that Hedera signs an MOU with Georgia's Ministry of Justice to implement Hedera's technology across the entire country's public sector.
We covered all these on the channel, by the way. All great news. This was all in the last few months, by the way. So especially the Georgia thing. I mean, it was the news has been a little quiet on Hedera lately, but this was like, you know, this was blowing up for a while. They had a really big 2025.
Aberdeen Investments, Lloyds Banking Group, and Arcact. They also had a major partnership with Hedera. And on top of this, we've even seen Hedera securing a $250 million deal with Saudi Ministry of Investment for Web3 and deep tech development. So with a few things about institutional adoption, looking at like the institutional cycle, Hedera, in my opinion, is going to be one of the favorites because Hedera's current market cap, if we look at it, is right around that $6.4 billion. And so compared to the Hedera Council's market cap, which you could see Hedera Council, if you look at all these companies and you combine their valuations, it's worth trillions and trillions of dollars. So looking at the Hedera Council, which is responsible for governing the network, seeing that they're made up of 39 of the world's largest companies worth trillions of dollars, seeing that their market cap is that large, it makes me think that Hedera is massively undervalued. And it's also interesting that they were able to get an ETF approved before the likes of like XRP and some of the largest cryptos out there. So the
I'm really trying to think if I buy that argument. I don't know that just because those companies happen to be on the council that that means that that serves as a basis of comparison compared to HBAR's total market cap. While I think these are all very good signals, having Aberdeen, Chainlink, Google, Hitachi, I think I said Samsung before. I think I was wrong about that, or maybe they were an older member. These do cycle through, by the way. You know, Deutsche Telekom, like Dell, dude, you're getting a Dell. Remember that? And some of you are probably too young to remember that. I mean, they're all on here, and this is a great signal. Like I said, this is a really important signal, especially for enterprises. But I think to take their total market cap and compare it to HBAR's and say that that should have some indication of where HBAR's valuation could be, I think that's a kind of a ridiculous argument. Even though I do think this is positive, if they were all using, if all these companies were using HBAR in their businesses, I could see more of an argument. But even then, it would be more about the enterprise value and not necessarily the companies it's serving. Like just because I send a newsletter to someone at a big company doesn't mean that their valuation should have any reflection on mine. So I got to say, I think this is actually kind of a silly argument, though I directionally agree with him.
HBAR ETF is basically like a vehicle for institutions to get exposure and allocate some of their capital to HBAR. And as large traditional companies explore crypto, they're going to see that HBAR ETF is really like backed by and partnered with Fortune 500 companies. I would assume that a lot of companies and institutions getting into crypto would want to allocate some of their money to HBAR and the HBAR ETF simply because of the fact that we see all of these major names in the tech world and just Fortune 500 companies backing Hedera. In addition to this, most projects and most blockchains try to promise like future utility. And the cool thing about HBAR with their ETF is that we have already seen massive inflows into their ETF, which we could see 4 days after launch. The fund had grown from 5.5 million to 360 million HBAR, over $70 million in assets under management in less than a week for a project that really no one was talking about. But in addition to this, we've also seen...
Yeah, so that's even more than I talked about before. That's actually quite huge, actually. And I was tracking this early on. I did a ton of videos on the HBAR ETF. Which is funny, it's actually HBBR ETF is the actual ticker, in case you're curious. We've just been calling it, and Tata, I actually follow Tata. He has pretty good information, although he's been a little quiet lately. I haven't seen a ton of stuff from him, but
that this blockchain isn't just promising future real-world utility. We already have seen that their ecosystem is comprised of dozens and dozens of projects, enterprise applications, wallets in custody, network explorers. Like, the list goes on and on, and we've seen billions of...
They all kind of have that, though. Anything in the top 100 is going to have a table like that. Like, Algorand has a table like that. Polygon has a table like that. Doesn't necessarily mean anything about the price. I mean, it's good. It's good that people are building, but just to kind of put that in perspective.
Transactions taken place, and nearly 500,000 just in the last day alone. So most layer one blockchains aim to develop features like governance, real world applications, business partnerships, and a lot more. But Hedera has already done that. I've showed you all of the data, all of the ecosystem partners. They had their ETF approved. And so this is just something that is really, really cool, in my opinion. So another thing is that HBAR, it runs on Hashgraph. And so we talked about this before, but Hashgraph, if we take a look right here, Hashgraph is not like the traditional blockchain tech. It's really how it gets such high speed and security without the trade-offs. This is how they do it. This is exactly how they have such high speeds, such low fees, and none of the trade-offs is because of Hashgraph. And so you can read all about this, which I'll link down below, but ultimately it can handle 10,000 plus transactions per second. Unthrottled, it can reach like 100,000, and they talk all about that in this document. So transactions are also finalized in seconds, like we mentioned before. So another thing I want to talk about is going to be how it's extremely cost effective. Because if we look at...
Just to go back to that, I know I probably should have paused it a little bit earlier. We haven't gotten any... That 10K has not even been close to tested. Hedera has not gotten near it. Algorand has. Algorand's actually, it's clocked for 10,000, but there have been blocks that have clocked in at like 15, 16, 17,000 TPS. It doesn't last very long. It's kind of a little surge, but it's held up. So you don't really know if it's going to hold up or how it's going to hold up or how it's going to react until you actually get that stress test in real time. So it'll be curious to see. They need more uses going on and to drive that TPS up a little more. And that will start bringing fees, which makes the stuff sustainable. That's another important part. One thing I like that Hedera did, though, I thought it was smart to increase the fee because I think it was a little low, going from 0.0001 to 0.0008, I think will bring in more revenue. 8x is their revenue without any more transactions, hopefully making it a little more sustainable. They're also, he didn't mention this, but they announced they're actually cutting some positions. They're going to be streamlining things a little this year. We heard that earlier this year that's going to take place. And that's probably a good thing. You probably have to be careful about your staff counts. Some of these, I think they kind of act like a startup, except they don't necessarily have the profitability pathway that they might hope for. So I think it's good to be lean, because I don't think they always act like, sometimes they act like a big corporation. And I've talked about this with the Algorand Foundation. They staff themselves as if they're a big profitable corporation, when really they're really should be like a lean startup. There should be one person doing like 20 things, maybe not to that extreme, but you know what I mean? Like in a startup, it's like, you kind of have to do a little bit of everything. You have to be kind of a jack of all trades in the beginning. And you can't just have this like bloated, you can't have bloated teams. And so I thought that was really smart from Hedera to recognize that they might have overstaffed and they're going to cut back a little bit.
To their main page, they talk about the average cost per transaction. But if we look at some of the charts comparing Hedera versus Base versus Avalanche versus Ethereum, you can see that Hedera comes in significantly lower. It's nearly 73 times cheaper than Base on average, and even more efficient than, you know, Ethereum and Avalanche. So being 73 times more cheaper than Base, and then Base is still much more efficient than Ethereum, makes you see really how much Hedera matters for institutions long term and why it's so important. So a few other things is going to be that right now Hedera's HBAR is available on like all of the top exchanges in the world. Binance, Coinbase, Bybit, OKX, KuCoin, MEXC, and the list goes on and on. And with institutional partners already covered, Hedera and the Hedera Council is really positioning itself for a retail play. We've already seen that this project has been able to successfully garner institutional support. It's really unmatched versus any project out there. But now, with new protocols being built behind the scenes, with new integrations, with new partners in their ecosystem, which you could see all right here, it's really ready for retail investors. And so this is something that I am just extremely excited about long term. The network is like purpose built for institutional grade use cases. They talk a lot about RWA tokenization, AI, DeFi. It's like compliant already by design, which makes it extremely easy to integrate into.
One thing he left out, and that's not necessarily a criticism, by the way. I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot that you can include, but to expand on the AI thing. Hedera built two different AI studios, and this is one of the things they do well. They'll recognize an area that is poised for growth and maybe perfect for their ecosystem, and then they'll build a studio around it, which really signals like their seriousness about it. So they have like two different AI studios to help developers build these AI tools on Hedera, and that's actually going to be probably one of the biggest use cases for some of these coins like Hedera or Algorand that have very low fees. They're going to be perfect and are very fast. That's going to be perfect for AI agents because they're going to have to make payments to each other. And you can't settle on a bank rails. It's just way too slow, way too slow. So anyway.
To regulated environments. And so really this doesn't rely on hype. It doesn't rely on narratives. Hedera is a project that has proven itself. It is a top 20 crypto by market cap. It has the biggest names. And because of this, we've already seen an ETF approved. It was the first altcoin to have an ETF approved after Bitcoin and after Ethereum. So it happened before XRP, one of the largest cryptos out there. And so this just proves that this is a project that you really don't want to miss out on, because if you're looking at market caps right now, $6 billion market cap compared to some of the other projects out there that had ETFs approved before, like Solana, $6 billion versus nearly $80 billion, shows you that Hedera has so much more room to grow. And it's a project that I definitely want to talk about more on the channel because it doesn't get enough attention.
Well, I agree with that. Overall, I thought that was a good video. Like I said, the market cap argument, and I think people tend to make really crazy arguments around market cap. It's just the total. It's just math. It's just the total of the price times the number of coins that are in circulation. That's all market cap is. So people make it like they'll do these like market cap comparisons where they'll be like, well, if Hedera had the market cap of Solana, it'd be worth this much. Yeah, but it doesn't. Like, there's no that doesn't say anything about the mechanism for how it gets there. You know, that's like saying, well, if I had as many Apple shares as Tim Cook, I'd be rich, but I don't have those shares. The key element is I need the aspect to get those shares. So anyway, that's my little rant on market cap, because people will do this dumb market cap math and think it means anything, and it's absolutely meaningless. But hey, overall, I thought this was a good video. Nice to see Hedera get that attention. I gave it a like. You know what? I'm going to give them the subscribe too. I don't know if I'll keep it, but good video, and check that out. In fact, I will. Oh, I can't share the link, but it's Michael Rubel. I'll show you guys. Michael Rubel, Rubal. And if you want to watch that, is the title of the video. Why HBAR is the most undervalued crypto. So yeah, nice job anyway. All right, in the chat, Greenblue says Binance had paused withdrawals late yesterday. Might be time to dust off the self custody. I will say I'm generally pretty, I'm more trustworthy of Coinbase than I am my own self-custody, except for Algorand, because I understand it so well. But yeah, might be, you might be right on that. And then Philip Riley says if they ever release Para Pong, we'll fly Algorand to number one. Well, I don't know about that, but I do like Pong. It's really fun. And welcome to all the new subscribers. We got a couple of new ones today, so always nice to see that. Decent little audience. I want to show you guys, let me pull this up first. So someone sent me, I can't remember who now, someone sent me a donkey. Let's see. I'm going to move this a little bit. Yeah, someone sent me this donkey. Here, I'll move. Hold on a second. Just for now, I'll move this over. Someone sent me this donkey NFT, and apparently you can play the donkey drop game. And I haven't played. I give you one per hour per NFT, or sorry, one per day per NFT. So I thought just to for fun, we'd play this on stream. So why don't we try that out? Let's see what happens. It's just like Plinko in it's like Plinko on Price is Right, if you guys ever watched that. I'm older. Let's see what happens. It almost always, oh, we got a free spin, so we get to go again. I got a token once. I've never got the DDAO jackpot, but I have gotten a token, and one time I kept getting free spins, but I didn't get anything. Let's see what happens again. Like I said, if you own this, whoa, never had that happen before. Oh my gosh, 38 DDAO. Hold on, I gotta claim these. 38 DDAO. This never happened before. It actually went off of the paw of the screen and then came back. That is wild. Hold on, I gotta claim these. So I'm pulling up my Para wallet right now. Good grief. All right, claiming the rewards. Signed the transaction and boom, got a little DDAO. And yeah, thanks to the person who sent me this donkey NFT. I appreciate that. And by the way, they also have a staking, so I figured that out. This isn't necessarily like an endorsement or anything. I'm gonna move my get myself back over. Let's see. I've got 135. I can claim 35, and you're just staking your donkey and earning these little rewards. So I thought that was kind of fun. And then I wanted to show you guys a game I'm playing. It's called Sunflower Land. I believe it's like polygon based. I haven't even figured that out yet, but I was a big fan. So you guys know I was a big fan of. Does this make a noise? Is it really loud? I'll turn the noise off. It might be a little too loud. I don't even hear it, but apparently it's. I can see desktop audio. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, I could probably hear it if I turned it on. Let me hear it for a second. Okay. Sometimes when I play the audio, it's just too loud, so I just turned it off. But yeah, it's a little farming game. So you farm these carrots. These like take a while, and you can expand. You got to expand your little island. You sell them here. Totally free to play. And as far as I can tell, you can not care about the crypto side if you want. I'm gonna sell all of those. Then I'm gonna craft an axe so I can chop some wood. That's all you get. So I got some wood. I think I wanted to make something. You can make a scarecrow to change times. There's some rewards. There's like daily rewards you can get. I'm still waiting to unlock some of those. I got to get to level 3, I guess. And then we can plant. I don't know if this is interesting. We're kind of finishing up anyway, so. It's kind of cool. You got to buy the seeds and then you can actually earn coins later on in the game that actually have real value, apparently, which is kind of neat, I think. So this is my replacement for Townstar because I got Townstar actually shut down. I don't know if you guys know that. And you can see they did take an hour. Now they only take 56 minutes, which is kind of cool. And then there's a little hub you can go to if you go in this boat, you can go to the hub. Apparently there's some fishing. It's kind of cool. It reminds me of Harvest Moon. Like I said, there is a crypto element here that I haven't even unlocked yet. And from what I understand, it's not really very extractive. Oh, I think I need to get rid of these rocks too. How much is that? Yeah, the pickaxe. You just need stone to get the. Oh, here we go. That mines the pickaxe. This pickaxe mines stone, so we need to get that too. But so you can see how you slowly kind of grow your town, and I don't know. I just thought it was kind of cool, so I thought I'd show you guys that. But otherwise, we're kind of wrapping up here. Yeah, not really much in the way of chats or anything. So I thought I'd take another look. Yeah, I think that's all I got. You guys got anything? Maybe we should look at this Binance thing. Let me just pull this up. Oh, not Binance. This back to where it ought to be. Binance withdrawals resume after temporary disruption. It comes after markets reeled as Bitcoin dipped below 76,000, triggering 2.56 billion in liquidations and exposing how fast leverage unwinds when risk sentiment turns. Yeah, just don't do leverage. It's so stupid. I really think, especially with Bitcoin, just buy dips and, you know, you can use something like Arch Public. I've been thinking about trying that out. But I really don't think people should trade with leverage. It's just a bad idea. You're going to get wrecked. You're going to get liquidated. Even the pros get liquidated. You know, just you guys got to stop wanting to build wealth like tomorrow. Build wealth slowly. It's the smart way to do it. And, you know, buy index funds, too. I think that's a good way to do things. So anyway, yeah, I just wanted to quick cover that because I thought that was interesting. Actually, maybe we could watch this.
It's time for Yahoo Finance's Market Minute. Stocks pushing higher after President Trump says the U.S. and India have reached a trade deal. As part of the deal, the U.S. will drop the baseline tariff rate on imports from India. Investors also digesting the earnings flood and Federal Reserve uncertainty. Meanwhile, two major retailers are moving on to the new chapter in the C-suite. Walmart seeing John Furner step into the CEO role, while Target also has a new face at the helm with Michael Fiddelke. This move comes as the once considered close big box store rival have seen their fortunes diverge in recent years. And lastly, AstraZeneca begins trading its shares on the New York Stock Exchange. This is replacing its American depository receipts that were on the NASDAQ. Company sees this change as enabling more U.S. investors to participate in the company's strong growth. And that's your Yahoo Finance Market Minute. Scan the QR code below to track the best and worst performing stocks of the trading session.
I thought that would be about Binance, but I guess not. So, well, I think we had a pretty good live stream. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. I hope you all got something out of that. And thanks for everyone who participated in the chat. A little quieter than usual, but you know, sometimes it's lively, sometimes it's not. It's fine. So I think that'll be it for today. But stay cool out there. You know, if you're in the north, if you're in a colder climate, you know, stay warm, I guess, right? And yeah, it's a bear market, so I don't know if it's a bear market. I'm kind of in no man's land, actually, but stay cool, you know, keep an eye on things, and stick to your thesis. This is the point where, you know, if you believe in an asset, you just keep buying the dips. If you don't, then maybe you rotate out into something you do believe in. So that's my wisdom for today to leave you with, and you know, my other wisdom would be mind your spending. Phillips is great stuff. Take care, bud. Hey, I appreciate that. Yeah, my other advice would be, you know, if you're spending everything you're making, you know, just stop doing that and start finding ways to save money. And so you can, you know, actually grow your investments. It's a good way to do it. So Maybe we'll talk more about frugality in the future, because I think that's it's a superpower when you can really control how much you're spending. It unlocks two things, because you need less, and then you also grow your wealth more. So, and then it kind of goes back to rich dad, poor dad, right? The idea of buy assets, not liabilities. Buy stuff that makes you money versus favoring buying stuff that makes you money versus buying stuff that costs you money. Big change. It'll be a big change in your life. So anyway, I'm for